looking at Thessalonians. Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We pray. Lord, while we know this is your will, too often we fail to do so. We need nothing but your Holy Spirit to come and enliven our hearts and our minds so that we can see you above all and know always the reason to give thanks. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Give thanks in all circumstances. Isn't this a great message, right? That you guys need to hear, right? So you can tell those other people outside that they need to hear this message, right? Give thanks. Why don't you ever give thanks, right? Then when we look at the verse, Thessalonians, it looks like he's talking to the brothers here, which would include all of us. So I guess he kind of wants me to give thanks too. You think so? Seems like giving thanks is one of those things that sounds good that other people should do, but maybe when you are told to do it, you don't always want to do it, right? We seem to have those exceptions in our life that we all have. I will give thanks if. Or, I will give thanks as long as my car doesn't smash into something, I don't get an illness, or I get rid of a chronic illness, I don't go to the hospital, someone I know doesn't go to the hospital, someone doesn't lie to me, or hurt me, or betray me, or is mean to me. As long as things go the way I want them to go, as long as I have a good job and kids are doing okay, as it can be big things, there have to be little things, I think, that get in the way of us from thanks living these thankful lives. Maybe these things we don't think about enough, but they happen probably more often than those big things in our lives. It's just those little things, you know, you don't like what you're eating for dinner, and you start to get a little disappointed, or, you know, food's cold. Stuck in traffic, or got a task at work I really don't like, or someone says one thing to me, or those personality quirks get on my nerves that I have to deal with from my family or workers. Those things just kind of add up, and we just kind of learn to go with the flow, so to speak, which is just going with our circumstances. And thanks be to God that He gives us this reminder, right? This isn't the way that He wants us to live, because it's just not a very joyful way to live either. Another thing we like to do is the yeah buts. I'm going to this one of my mentors. Yeah, got to go to church, but, you know, wasn't as exciting as I wanted it to be. Or yeah, got to eat, but it's cold. Yeah. I got to see my friend, but they just complained all the time. Yeah, we had family over, but, just Uncle Benny is just so annoying. Yeah, but, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't give thanks, but this happened, so I want to complain instead. It's not that we can't desire things to be better, right? But it's that we say, until this happens, I don't have a good reason to be thankful. And what the way I want us to remember this is that we're basing our thanksgiving on our circumstances, and Jesus wants us to base our thanksgiving in our circumstances. It's a profound shift, you could say, right? What this does is it does two things. It keeps us from recognizing when we do it on our circumstances. It keeps us from recognizing and appreciating the good things, right? And also affects our attitudes, which so it doesn't even matter necessarily what's happening in our lives. We're going to end up looking at it in a bad way, right? So it can affect our attitudes and it can cause us to miss the good things. My dad did a sermon years ago. It's called "Where's the Olives?" Right? This guy sits down to a Thanksgiving feast of turkey and cranberries and mashed potatoes and corn and gravy and pumpkin pie and apple and cherry pie and it's wonderful wine and right anything he could ask for, but he can't find the olives. And he just has a fit, right? He's like, "Where are the olives, Mom? Are you kidding me? I can't eat Thanksgiving without olives. I don't like olives, but somebody does, right?" And what did he do? He missed this huge spread of food right before him. He couldn't appreciate it because he missed the olives. Stupid olives, right? That's what we do. Missing the olives. Missing that little thing. I'm going to focus on that thing and I'll forget about everything else. Because I just am convinced in my mind I need that to be thankful. Might be a relationship, might be a financial situation, might be a family situation. Could be something little. You don't like the color of your car, something like that. The newsflash for us today is things can always get better, right? Doesn't matter what you have, if you look hard enough, you will be able to notice that it's flawed, right? No matter how good that new toy is or that car, there's always going to be a more fuel efficient, more smoother ride, more bells and whistles. Remember how many good clothes you have, there's always going to be new fashions that come out and say, "Oh, this is better, this is more comfortable," right? And especially with TVs, you know, people used to be happy about 13-inch TV, I remember. It's like, "Wow, this is a TV," but now what is it? Now you got to have like 60 inches for it to be a good thing, right? I'm a victim to this, right? What happens? Well, we just keep pushing the standard because when we're thankful for just stuff, it can never satisfy us, right? So we kind of have to, maybe not even consciously, we just keep pushing the bar and it can get frustrating, right? We see someone else and think, "Oh, my kids were like that. Oh, if my parents were like that. Oh, if my siblings were like that. Oh, I wish I had an uncle like that." What do? Try to push the bar and we ignore the blessings in front of our eyes. Right there. So we forget about what we do have, right? This is the grass is always greener. We talk about this in confirmation syndrome. You just keep thinking, "I could just get over there, just do that," right? In a sense, it's true. Some things are. You can always find something that's better. But you can't use it as a standard for Thanksgiving. Now, what we know about in the Bible is that it says, actually for Christians, the grass is always green, period. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's me beside still waters, even in the valley of death. I will fear no evil because you are with me and you comfort me. Show me the green pastures. We can also be complacent, can't we, when things get really good, like the Israelites, and they had the big houses and the stone mansions and the beautiful vineyards, and they go into the promised land, and what do? They're in the desert, they complain about what they don't have, and when they finally get blessed and have what they want, and they start They start forgetting about God, right? They start to think, oh, it's all because of me. It's all because of us. We're so great. Boy, we really worked hard and got this done, and now we're going to enjoy the stuff that we got. And we don't need God anymore, right? Well, it's just his dad, right? Because that's not Thanksgiving either. That's kind of like thanking yourself. Starting to even worship yourself, right? My God says, don't forget. Everything good you have comes from me. Oh, for me, the eyes of all look to me, and I open my hand and I give them everything that they need. Even if you built that thing, I'm the one who gave you that ability to build. I'm the one who gave you that ability to work your bodies, your mind, your relationships. So many of our things, you know, the older I get, it's like, is this really because of my planning, or has God put these people in my life? And he was preparing in advance before I was even born, how he could lead me and grow me as a Christian. So it's not about complaining about what we don't have or patting ourselves on the back for what we do have. It's, well, remembering the most beautiful thing in our lives. My mother has a little stone pathway, a little stone area next to the sidewalk, right to the entrance of our house. And it's just, there's a lot of rocks. Occasionally there's a couple flower pots in there. But one thing that was pretty amazing is one fall, in the midst of all these rocks and dirt, she found this beautiful viola flower sprouting just miraculously, really planted. But it just sprouted there in these rocks. And you know what? It survived the entire Minnesota winter. And it's still there today. Little viola, yellow flower. Let's see if we can catch this connection. Maybe you're thinking about it already, right? Now if we take away this flower, is this really that interesting of a picture? Just some rocks and dirt? Is that a reason to give thanks? Well, maybe God created the dirt, whatever. If we just take away the flower, it's just kind of like the... But then when we put this little flower in here, doesn't that change the whole way you look at this picture? Your whole appreciation for this picture? Just with one thing. We didn't change any of this other stuff. We just put one thing in. That's what it is for us, right? When we look at our surroundings and our circumstances, it's not so much that God wants to change those things. He wants us to see him in the circumstances. Because when we see him in the circumstances, it changes our whole perspective. Right? When the Israelites were going through the desert, did they have a reason to complain? The scorching heat, the wild animals, it says. You know, it's the hot sun, right? They didn't have food or water for a time. What was it that made a difference? God was with them, leading them through, providing for them. Their clothes didn't wear out, their sandals didn't wear out. They didn't get burned by the heat. They didn't get attacked by the animals. God provided water out of the rock, bread from heaven. Right, the enemies would flee in fear from their army. God was with them. Even in the desert, there was such a reason for them to give thanks. Because of that one thing, it completely changed their minds and their outlook and their hearts. God brought you out of Egypt to be his people, out of slavery. God brought you out sin, unto death, what is a meaningless existence and a dull life, to be his people, to follow them and to have meaning and beauty, and to serve other people, to pass that on to everyone else. And I may not know what you're going through right now, but I know somebody who understands. And I know someone who is better and bigger than anything that might happen to you. It's the name of Jesus. So when I look out, even at the place where Jesus died, you see a lot of darkness, don't you? A lot of mocking, a lot of beating, a lot of cruelty to Jesus. Crucifixion, unjustly. What's the one thing that changes the way we look at this cross? It's that Jesus rose from the dead, right? It's the one beautiful thing. It changes Good Friday, changes all the suffering that we know of Jesus, changes all the suffering in our life because we know that Jesus broke through. He sprung up from the ground that one Easter morning. And that's the source of our thanks, isn't it? So when I look at the world, I can look at it. Now, however I paint the picture, I put Jesus Christ there, right in the center. Changes everything. I look at myself and I see all the fears and sins and failures, and I see Jesus and his forgiveness and his love and his value that he's placed on me. It changes the way I look at myself. And I look at other people and I see their faults. It's not too hard, right? Not too hard. But that's not all I see. I see Jesus in them. I see rescued people. I see forgiven people. I see people created wonderfully by God. I see people redeemed by God. Sustained, protected, delivered, living witnesses of the power and presence of God. Provision of God. That's what I see, brothers and sisters. That's what one thing can do. Our perspectives. One more thing I want you to think about is something I heard when I attended this workshop on feedback at the district. It was pretty good. It was a leadership workshop. But one thing they taught us to make sure that we knew clearly is that when somebody gives us something, feedback, we would say two words. And guess what they are? Thank you. Oh, see? You guys didn't even go. Thank you. What a difference this makes, right? In the way that you then process what's been told you. What if we did this with our lives? When God sends us something, we say the words first. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for this food, my family, my forgiveness. Thank you. The life that I have. It's not like somebody else, but thank you. It doesn't need to be. Thank you. Free from what people think of me. And thank you. When the bad stuff comes, thank you. Right? Thank you for using it to test me, humble me, refine me, teach me that you're the one who's behind it all. You're the only one who's my Savior. Thank you. Thanksgiving awakens us to the presence and power and provision of God. That's what it does. And you see how you might not change on the outside, but on the inside. It makes all the difference. So as we leave, don't give thanks based on your circumstances. Give thanks in your circumstances. Because Jesus is right there in the midst, providing all your needs of body and soul. His name. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.